This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Meditation, recorded at the Hammer Museum. Each week, Diana Winston, Dr. Allison Pimentel, or one of the UCLA Mindful teachers, leads a 30-minute guided session offering a variety of themes and practices to cultivate self-awareness, emotion regulation, and increased well-being. Thanks for joining us.
So welcome. Welcome to everyone in the room here, in the auditorium, beautiful auditorium, and everyone who is streaming in. It's good to be back at the Hammer. My name is Ali, and I'm sitting in for Diana Winston. So I'll share a little bit about the practice today in a little bit, but why don't we just get started? And then I'll try to do a good job teaching the practice. All right. So invite you to close your eyes if you wish, or if you prefer, keep them open. You can do that with a soft, gentle gaze, maybe a couple of feet ahead of you so you're not distracted. And let's arrive together in this room, in the auditorium, if you're outside in the balcony or in the yard. Some may even be in a car, not driving, but wherever you are, adopting this intention to arrive here together in the silence, arriving in our own bodies. So just invite you to take a few deep, caring, gentle breaths, inhales and exhales, with the exhale being just slightly longer than the inhale. Just arriving to the present moment, arriving exactly where we are, feet on the floor, on the cushion, on the couch, wherever we may be, connecting to the earth. Arriving in our own bodies by noticing touch points where our hands may be on our lap, abdomen, maybe laced together. Sensing the pressure. Arriving by noticing areas of tension in the body and inviting a softening. The shoulders, the jaw. Forehead, soft belly, letting go of tension in the abdomen, arriving where, here, when, now, here and now. And as we arrive, we invite in this capacity to be available in this moment. So gently directing awareness, attention to the sounds in the room, sounds inside our bodies, sounds from outside. Just noticing sounds close in, far away. They're always there. All we're doing now is paying attention, noticing that they exist. Or perhaps there is just silence, noticing the sound of silence. Just being available, noticing sounds don't need our permission. And as we pay attention, we notice more subtle sounds, quieter sounds. So we arrive, we become available, and gently letting sounds be where they are. They're always there anyway. So gently shifting awareness, focus to breath, noticing the sensations of breathing, not just the thought of breathing, but the sensations, the rising and falling of the chest, the rib cage, the abdomen. And if you want to get even more subtle, noticing the coolness of air coming into the nostril and the subtle vibration and warmth of air leaving the nostril as we exhale. So we invite ourselves to become available as we arrive into this moment. And gently letting breath be where it always is, loyal, available, unconditional, and inviting your attention to what's happening in the mind, what's happening with your thoughts. And this is not a test. You don't have to perform or have a right thought or right mind. It's just paying attention, just like we did to sound or breath, to whatever the thoughts might be percolating. What's the mind doing? Is it quiet, soft? Perhaps it's edgy today, this moment, or anxious, or curious, or settled. Or maybe the thoughts are there, but they're more like music. They operate gently in the background. There's really no urgency. Or perhaps it's monkey mind, a lot of turbulence, movement, jumping, wandering, planning. Or there might be emotion, sadness, anger, or perhaps curiosity or joy. Whatever it is, just notice we're not going to fight with the thoughts. I don't know what your thoughts are doing, but this particular individual framed it quite well, at least for me, in some instances, usually at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know who it is, but you can claim as anonymous, and if you like it, you can claim it as your own. But she said, 3 out of 4 voices in my head wanted to sleep last night. The other one wanted to know if penguins have knees. And Mary Oliver had a more elegant poem to describe this very moment of thoughts as they arise. And it's a poem titled, I Worried. I worried a lot. Will the garden grow? Will the rivers flow in the right direction? Will the earth turn as it was taught? And if not, how shall I correct it? How shall I correct it? Was I right? Was I wrong? Will I be forgiven? Can I do better? Will I ever be able to sing? Even the sparrows can do it, and I am, well, hopeless. In my eyesight, is my eyesight fading, or am I just imagining it? Am I going to get rheumatism, lockjaw, dementia? Finally, I saw that worrying had come to nothing and gave it up and took my old body and went out into the morning and sang. So, a beautiful way for Mary Oliver to frame today's teaching, which is working with thoughts, working with thoughts. Sometimes, as I indicated earlier, thoughts are in the background. They're not urgent. They don't demand to be thought. But other times, thoughts velcro, or we velcro to the thought. We become over-identified with that thought. And today's practice are ways in which we can skillfully decenter or disidentify from the thoughts. Yeah? Decenter. Decentering doesn't mean we make thoughts go away, but rather than being so velcroed and claustrophobic and identified with the thought, you know, does penguin have a knee? I mean, imagine at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's quite possible to cascade into a stream of, well, maybe I can Google it and find out. And, oh, well, if I'm going to do that, I might as well take a cruise to Antarctica and discover. It just can really over-identify. So today's practice is finding more ways to create space between the urgency of a thought and the skillfulness with which we connect with that thought. So it's important to note that we value our thoughts. They're superpowers. We use imagination and thought to project out into the future and to imagine an ideal and hoped for future, or go into the past and reclaim the ways, the wisdom in our journey, and allow it to inform our present. But there are also unskillful thoughts, thoughts that cascade and create anxiety and fear and over-rumination and over-identification. So I invite you just to connect with whatever is going on with thoughts. Just notice your thoughts. whatever they're doing. It could be I'm hungry. It could be a memory from last week, a conversation, a future conversation, whatever it is. One of the ways in which we can work with thoughts is, we can refer to it as platforming. So imagining that we're on a platform of a train station, I can relate to it. I was raised in New York City and subways are home to me. And so it's a felt experience, but these are metaphors. If you're an experienced practitioner, you may have discovered, found other metaphors that are helpful, and they're all out there. But the platforming is a very useful one. Just imagining sitting or standing on the platform of a train station, and thoughts come in, left and right. Do I have rheumatism? Will the earth? Will I get dementia? Why can't I sing? Just they come in. They don't need permission, just like sounds. They just pour in. And we can make a choice. We can decide to hyper-identify and walk into that train and go to wherever that destination leads us, and usually not to very productive places. And we do have a choice to just stand on the platform. Train comes in, we notice it, it leaves, we're still on the platform. You might try that. You might try noticing the birth of a thought. It's another way of noticing the train come into the platform. Oh, there it is. And giving it a label. Whatever that thought, that birth of that thought is, and making a decision not to go on that ride. Just let it pass. Now, of course, if the thought is important enough, we can always come back to it. But here the practice is to disidentify, to practice with letting go of a thought. And of course, sometimes a train pulls in, and before we know it, we find that we've gotten on that thought train. Not a problem. We can always get off the thought train at the next station. We're not destined to follow a thought to its final conclusion. And because thoughts cascade like waterfalls and build on each other, a simple thought can slowly evolve into anxiety, fear, worry, what if, should I have, could I have. So we don't have to follow a thought to its logical conclusion. So refer to this as platforming. See if you can gently practice with this idea of platforming. Not getting on the thought, letting go of the thought, coming back to the platform. There is also a second metaphor, and I'll offer that, which is a snowflake metaphor. So just gently leaving the platform, train station behind, it's going to be there next time. And snowflake is very much like this idea that a single thought is like a snowflake. And if we are not careful, that snowflake bundles, connects with another snowflake, another stream of thought, another flake. And before we know it, that single thought has become a snowball. That snowball then contains emotions, feelings, even urgency to act on that thought. Yeah. Even if that thought may be unskillful. And pretty soon, as we collect more flakes, that snowball becomes a huge ball and rolls down like an avalanche, and we find ourselves in a state of anxiety, fear, worry. We don't have to get there. It's not inevitable. So we try to catch a thought when it's just a flake. Something quite elegant in the first experience of, wow, I didn't get on that thought train, or I got off the thought train, or I caught that thought when it was a flake. There's such freedom in that. We can also label a thought. That's a tool. We can use metaphors or we can label thoughts. There's science that suggests that the labeling downregulates the impulses that produce fear, anxiety, memory that may be unskillful, unhelpful. Labeling. It doesn't have to be an exact label. It can be in the periphery, in the tangent. It's close enough. Fear, anger, hungry, worried, wandering, thinking. Just the act of labeling is so healthy and so helpful. In hacking into the automaticity of unfettered cascade of snowflake, bundling with snowflake, bundling with snowflake. Shinru Suzuki had a beautiful way to frame this practice, this idea of not being so over-identified and accommodating to thoughts. With a little effort, we can try to say that a thought and mind are one, they're not. But what we're working towards is working with the mind, not for the mind. Yeah? Working with thoughts, not for the thought. Yeah? We have some agency. So the practice of labeling, the practice of platforming, snowball technique. If you've been practicing for a long time, you know there's also clouds, yeah? Thoughts like clouds in the blue sky. The sky doesn't Velcro itself to the cloud, it just passes through, passes by. So here, Shinru Suzuki, this beautiful way to frame it, leave your front door and your back door open, allow your thoughts to come and go, just don't serve them tea. Yeah? They have a habit of staying overnight if we're not careful and skillful. Yeah? So just the next couple of minutes, choose a metaphor. See if you can have a first-person experience in this identifying from a thought. Get on a thought train. Can you get off the next station? Can you catch it? When do you catch a thought? At the beginning, in the middle, in the end? As a fun practice, it's just so interesting to catch a thought at the instant of its birth. Oh, wow, I noticed that. You might even ask yourself, where does a thought go when it's done? One of the phrases I like to use at 3 a.m. when my mind seems extraordinarily active and urgent, every thought has to be thought. There is an instance in which I'm thinking at the birth of a thought, and the next thought is, do I really need to be thinking about this right now? And of course the answer is no. See you later. I'll come back another day, another time. Just taking a couple of deep inhales and exhales. And in all practices, it's so valuable, so useful to also connect with some compassion and self-care and loving kindness for self. Always ending a practice, meditation, with phrases that are supportive, kind, gentle, tolerant. So for whatever it is I'm experiencing right now, may I hold myself with kindness. May I hold my practice with kindness. May I know that my effort is so valued. And offering yourself phrases of loving kindness. May I know that at this moment I am safe, right now, this moment. May I have ease of being. May I have well-being. May I be gentle with myself. And whenever you're ready, you can gently bring this practice to a close. Gently open your eyes if they were closed. And end the meditation. Thank you so much for your practice. It's, as always, a delight to be here with you. I'll slowly amble my way onto the lobby. If anyone has any questions about the practice, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you so much for your presence.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Meditation from the Hammer Museum. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.